We've got the answers. This is Court Radio. And now, here's your host, Dean Weitzman.
Good morning, people in listening radio land. This is not Dean Weitzman, actually. It's David Rappaport, the co-host. Thank you. The co-host, who's now the host today. We are without Mr. Weitzman, the host of Court Radio. But I'm going to be acting as host. You've heard me, all of these wonderful shows, being the cohort with Mr. Weitzman. So I'm going to handle the helm today. I hope you treat me nicely, or you'll be slapped. Hurry up. Come on, Larry. See? I had to do that to you. There you go. You slapped. Okay. It is a little chilly outside. It's going to be very sunny today. It's probably going to get up to around 60. Nice day. It's going to be nice tomorrow, and it may rain Wednesday. I think it's going to get up to 70 on Wednesday. So at least for today, while it may be crisp, enjoy yourselves. It will be a wonderful, wonderful day. Anyway, if you're listening to us and if you want to call in, as you know, we answer all your legal questions, whether they're complex, whether they're easy, and whatever topic they have to do, I will handle that. Just call in. Two, and I need the number because that's one thing I don't have. See that? Dean always gets the number wrong, so, you know, I guess it doesn't make a difference. But 215-263-1003, that's the number. We want you to call in now, get into the queue, and we will answer your questions. Or if you have any comments on things that I talk about today, that's fine as well. You can call in about anything. We would love to talk with you. We just love to have listeners. Remember our rule, which, you know, since Dean isn't here, I might relax a little bit. Maybe. You'll have to test me. But the rule is one question only. We answer that, and then you must accept that answer and not ask another question. But, you know, we'll see what happens. We're kind of loose today because the man isn't here, so he can't do anything about it. And even if he's listening, he can't do anything about it. So anyway, again, 215-263-1003. All right, what's going on? Well, you know, obviously we know what's going on with Boston, and I'm going to talk about that a little bit. I think there's some legal angles to it. I don't want to go over all of the details. We all know that, and we all know it's a tragedy and a horrible thing. There's one thing that I think for Court Radio, you know, legal aspect, that was interesting for me. I thought we mentioned is this talk recently came up after they captured the second brother about Miranda rights. There's this whole issue about Miranda. He's not going to be read as Miranda rights. He is going to be read as Miranda rights. What's going on there? Okay, here's what's going on. First of all, what are the Miranda rights? All the Miranda rights are, I think, 1966 decision by the U.S. Supreme Court that someone who's arrested needs to be given their rights before they're questioned, before they're interrogated. They need to be told they have the right to a lawyer. They need to be told they have the right to remain silent, and that if they don't, anything they say can be used against them. Now, how does that work into this situation? Well, this second brother was caught, apparently he's still in the hospital and he can't speak. But when he can, they're going to question him. And when the authorities question him, they've told everyone, the public and the news, that they are not going to issue him Miranda rights initially. Why are they not going to do that? They're invoking a public safety exception to the Miranda rules. Okay, and the public safety exception says that if there's imminent danger to the public, you don't have to read a suspect his rights. You can interrogate him first. And here, I think it's obvious that there is a public safety issue here. Is there another bomb somewhere? Are there other people involved? Was there a plan to do other bombings or other types of terrorist activities with other people? I think it's important, obviously, for all of us to know that and to try and get that information from this kid. Without any fanfare or having him invoke his Fifth Amendment rights and remain silent and say nothing. With that being said, the only issue about the Miranda rights is whether what this kid says can be used against him and incriminate him later in a trial. It's not going to, if he's not read his Miranda rights and it's found that he should have been, he's not going to be let off. He's not going to be told he can go home, that kind of stuff. So just keep that in mind. The media makes a big thing about this, but it really just has to do with self-incrimination. And I think there's enough evidence, I would think, to, you know, convict this kid ultimately without anything that he says. I mean, I really do think there's enough evidence to point the finger at him. Anyway, that's the deal with the Boston tragedy. We'll see how that unfolds. Obviously, everyone is riveted by it, and our hearts and prayers go out to the people of Boston. Okay, our hot button, we usually have a hot button topic. Our hot button topic today is going to be gun control, because as you all know, several days ago, or maybe you don't know, our wonderful country, the Congress refused to pass what I think many consider, and logically and reasonably consider, a very reasonable gun control measure of extending background checks to online and internet purchasing of guns. Real quick, I can explain that to you as well. Oh, look, whoa, Kyle is sitting in a seat with a microphone. Are you going to talk? Not right now, but you will talk. We're going to hear Kyle talk today. This is a special day. When Dean isn't here, we all play. I can't hear. Is he talking? Go ahead, Kyle.
There we go.
Yeah,
we go.
All right.
I think I might have to fire Larry. He didn't pull my mic up in time.
I know. Are you going to be my co-host?
Yeah, I'll be your co-host today. You know, have some fun.
Nice. See that, Dean? We may not have you here more often.
Yeah, okay. Let's have some fun today.
Anyway, let's see. We have a call. Before we get into this whole gun control explanation, we have a call. We might as well take the caller, Julia from Kensington. Julia.
Yes.
Hello. How are you? Good morning.
Fine. And yourself.
Welcome to Court Radio.
Thank you.
What's your question?
I was just wanting to know, how can you go about getting a law amended? And I only asked that. My son was forced to take a guilty plea, which he was involved in police corruption. And the lawyer, just basically deliberately told him it was no way possible that he'll be able to get them out the charges without even doing any of the work. So I'm speaking for the individuals who have to take guilty pleas, who are forced to, and no way can ever prove their innocence.
Okay. So your question is, how would that particular law be amended?
Knowing that all this corruption is going on in the police system, yes. And like at one time it was, you know, they would be able to get a chance if they were convicted. So then maybe, you know, if the years, it can maybe get overturned. But now what I have noticed, especially from my son's situation, individuals are forced to take guilty pleas.
Okay. Well, first of all, I have to say, I'm reminded immediately when you say, how do you get a law amended, of the Schoolhouse Rock little thing about the bill and the law and, you know, and the courthouse steps and all that. But I'm joking, but really, it's a complex, you can't just get a law amended by complaining about it or by saying that it's unfair.
Right.
You recognize the bill is laws are passed by the legislature. They have to go through a long process of debating and so on and so forth. Now, what can happen, and what sounds like you're talking about, if a law, it turns out as we're implementing a law that it's unfair, and there's a history or a pattern of things happening with the law that are unfair, you can, you have to appeal to a senator or a lawmaker to say, you know, let's look at this pattern, look what's going on here, and have them introduce a bill to amend that law. Based upon the evidence of, you know, it not being used properly or it not being fair. And that's, you show that by what happens in court.
Okay.
So all these court decisions, you get together, you have a list of them, you go to your state representative or your county commissioner, whoever, so that person who can bring it to the state senator, and tell them what's going on. But unfortunately, it's a grassroots effort that has to make it all the way up to the highest levels of the city government to go through that process. It's got to go to, you know, if it's in Philadelphia, it's got to go to Harrisburg.
Okay.
It's not just going to change by complaining in City Hall or something like that.
Oh, okay.
You know, if it's a municipal law, but it sounds to me like you're talking about it's a law that's a criminal law, which would be a state-run thing. So,
okay.
Anyway, it's something that you can talk to your local politicians about and have them work with you on it.
Oh, okay.
Okay?
Okay, yes.
All right.
Thank
have
you.
A great day.
You too.
All right. Take All care. Right. All right.
215-263-1003. David is here all morning long answering all your questions.
Wow, I'm getting plugs by Kyle.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. You're the all smart right. one on the team.
Uh-oh. Okay, you hear that, everyone? Don't call in with any complex questions. Make me look good. All right, so as I was saying, the gun control, our hot-button topic, gun control. I, for one, can't fathom how this law wasn't passed. It's crazy, and if you have half a brain, I hope you would think the same.
So, David, does this show you that these gun lobbyists have their hands in the pockets
without
these congressmen?
Without question. And the reason is, as just to bring everyone up to speed, currently the law is that you cannot go into a gun store and buy it without being checked, background check. You have to fill out a paper, and it goes to the FBI database. They do a background check to see if you are a convicted felon, mm-hmm. if you have any type of mental illness issues that have been on the database, things like that. Mm-hmm. That was passed a long time ago.
Right.
Before online purchasing, before gun shows were really big.
Right.
That law doesn't apply to gun shows and online. And all this bill was that Obama was trying to put through, well, actually it was, I have to give props to Pat Toomey, Senator Pat Toomey, who is a Republican, and you know we sometimes bash Republicans.
Right,
here.
There's some good ones out there.
Yeah, he proposed this bill with a Democrat, and it's very reasonable. He's a very pro NRA person, to me, but he sees the reasoning of it. All this bill did was say that those background checks have to be for now extended to online and to gun shows.
But that will only make sense.
That's
I mean,
all it did.
Look at the times we're in today. How many people have to die? How many
massacres
have to happen before, you know, these politicians wake up and say we have to do something?
Now, interestingly, almost 90% of the senators were in favor of it. But in the week before the vote came, it flipped. Republican side flipped. Now, there were some Democrats who also didn't vote for it, and they should be slapped and thrown into the river. But the Republicans all flipped. Why? Because, like you said, gun lobbyists got to them. They got
money.
Their people together. More than money, too. They got all their people together and scared them into saying, you better call your representatives. Tell them you're not going to vote. And that's the key to what I want to talk about today is voting. You've heard us talk about this on the show millions of times, Dean and I, that you got to get out and vote. And if this isn't an indication of that, I don't know what is. We're going to have Commissioner Ramsey's going to
call in today. Good.
He's going to talk about this. He's a big proponent, obviously, of the gun control legislation. He actually went to Washington and helped them draft this particular bill. And so we will hear from him and his thoughts. I'm sure he's got a little bit to say about that.
Okay. 215-263-1003. David is here on Old School 100.3 Court Radio. He's the smart one on the team. Dean's not here today. I'm just going here to say that because I beat Dean twice at Words with Friends, and I'm currently winning on him now. I just want to put that out there.
All right. Well, wait a minute. You won twice last week, so it means you still have – that's only twice.
No, I won again this week.
You did? Okay. Yeah. All right. Good. That's good. I haven't played Words with Friends with Dean. I don't want to, you know, mess with him that way. Because I would kill him in it. So
definitely.
Yeah. All right. So we have, I want to play you. I heard, and I hope you did, one of the greatest speeches a president has ever made because he brought it down. He made it real. Obama made a speech about this gun control legislation after it was thrown out. We have some clips from it, and he was angry. You can hear it in his voice, but he was eloquent and he made sense. And I pulled a couple clips for you because I think they're important. Let's play the first one.
The gun lobby and its allies willfully lied about the bill. They claimed that it would create some sort of Big Brother gun registry, even though the bill did the opposite. This legislation, in fact, outlawed any registry. Plain and simple, right there in the text. But that didn't matter. And unfortunately, this pattern of spreading untruths about this legislation served a purpose because those lies upset an intense minority of gun owners. And that, in turn, intimidated a lot of senators. And I talked to several of these senators over the past few weeks. And they're all good people. But the fact is, most of these senators could not offer any good reason why we wouldn't want to make it harder for criminals and those with severe mental illnesses to buy a gun.
There you go.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. No reason why. They couldn't offer any reason why. The only reason they could offer was, like you said.
Yeah, money.
We were pressured, and they wouldn't offer that reason, but that was kind of the reason that they said. Anyway, as I told you, and we don't want to keep him waiting.
No,
because he's important, and we want to hear what he has to say. We have Police Commissioner Charles Ramsey on the phone. Let's put him on. Commissioner Ramsey, how are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Great. We appreciate you coming on the air today.
That's okay.
Yes, and we know that obviously this is an issue near and dear to your heart. I know that you, I had read and heard that you actually were in Washington weeks ago about this particular bill, right?
Yeah, I've made a few trips to Washington to meet with the president and the vice president around this bill. I'm president of the Major City Chiefs Association, which is comprised of the 63 largest departments in the United States, and also president of the Police Executive Research Forum, which is a Washington-based think tank. And we endorsed the Manchin-Toomey compromise legislation, even though it didn't contain everything that we would like to have seen in it. But it did represent a step forward.
Right.
And we thought that that alone was reason to endorse it.
And so what is your take on what happened? I mean, what are your thoughts on that? I can, we all know what your probable thoughts are, but I want to hear what your what you have to say about that.
Well, I mean, I watched on C-SPAN as the vote was being taken, and we had just spoken with the vice president Monday, and he said it was going to be close. And at that point in time, I didn't know which way it was going to go, but they were still speaking with a few people, hoping they could sway them to vote in favor. I thought that this bill, which actually was nothing more than a limited background check provision, I thought it would pass narrowly, but I thought it would pass. I was very disappointed to see that it didn't. I was very disappointed to see that there were a couple other amendments that did not make it either, particularly the one that would have dealt with straw purchasing. I thought it was just absolutely embarrassing to have a Congress, a Senate, that just is just so swayed by a small percentage of people that are represented by the gun lobby. And it was embarrassing as an American that we couldn't get something that, in my mind, was as simple as that passed.
Yeah, 90% of the Americans in our country want this passed. They have no objection to it. Even a lot of them are members of the NRA. And yet, the NRA and interests like that were able to influence these legislators to not vote for it. What do you think it's going to take? How do we combat this? How do we move forward?
It's going to take American people throwing some of these guys out of office. That's what it's going to take.
Yeah.
The current crop that you have there is not going to get it done.
Obviously.
It's just that simple.
Right.
They aren't. I mean, it's too partisan. They can't agree on anything. And then something that would greatly benefit the safety and security of the American public, they can't even get together on that. My hat is off to Senators Manchin and Toomey for at least sitting down and putting together a compromise bill. There were about five Republicans, I believe, that did vote in favor, but there were another four or five Democrats that didn't. So this isn't a party issue. This is just a representation issue as far as I'm concerned. And we have members of Congress, unfortunately, that don't represent accurately their constituency, and that's a shame.
Yeah, and that directly relates to what Kyle said earlier. It's really a money issue. They're being influenced by money and voting. People call in and say, we're not going to vote for it.
The whole political system has to be revamped and changed so that we get back focused on doing what's best for the public. Listen, I'm not anti-gun from the standpoint of thinking that all guns should be banned.
Right.
That is would maybe a situation that in another time, another place, on another planet might be something that would be worthy of consideration. But it's really not here. Our problem, it doesn't come from the legitimate and responsible gun owners. It's for guns falling into the wrong hands. In Philadelphia, for example, the time from the purchase of the gun to the crime being committed and the gun being recovered is almost 14 years, which means that you know, a gun was manufactured and purchased by someone, probably legitimately, although straw purchasing could be in there, but let's just assume it's legitimate. But then how many times did that gun change hands without any record of any transaction at all? I mean, you could do it privately, what have you. You don't know the person that you're selling it to is a responsible person. A gun gets lost or stolen. In our state, you don't even have to report it lost or stolen. We need to know that the guns are in the hands of responsible people and not people who are going to either use them to commit crime or they're mentally incapable of making decisions properly, which makes them a risk to themselves or to others. And that's all we're asking for here. So I find it very, very disturbing that they would not sign off on that. And again, embarrassing. And it's a disgrace is what it is.
Yeah. I read a story this morning that I actually was unaware of, and I wanted to get your comment on this one. And maybe if you're, you might not be aware of it as well. But in Arizona, they, in light of all this, which, you know, I think the most of the country is outraged, as we are, about all this. In light of all this, Arizona just passed a law, well, it's waiting for their governor to sign, that on their gun buyback program, which a lot of states have, you know, you just give a gun and this the municipality will buy it back, no questions asked, just take the gun from you, and then it's melted down. In Arizona, they passed a law that says that the municipalities can no longer destroy the guns. They must resell them.
Right.
Now, what kind of, what is your take on that? I know in Philadelphia we have a program where it's a buyback,
right.
Just and I assume those guns are destroyed or get taken out of the stream.
They are.
Yeah. What, I mean, that just to me is a slap in the face to the country again. Another, just Arizona, which has very, very loose gun laws. What would that do? Just to compare that to Philadelphia, if you said, you know, all the guns that are turned in, we can't destroy them, we have to resell them.
And there'd be no point in even having a gun buyback and turning them in.
Right.
I mean, it doesn't make any sense. But again, it's just another way in which, you know, people who oppose any kind of legislation regulating guns at all are just trying to just, you know, pour a little salt into the wound, in my opinion. Now, if that's the law they pass, certainly by, you know, with states' rights, they have the right to do that. But it just doesn't make any sense to me. We destroy all firearms that we take off the streets once the court case is over and the appeal period has expired. We melt them down.
Right.
And I don't even, guns that we no longer use in our department, I refuse to sell them back to the manufacturer, because if we did, all they would do is turn around and sell them again, you know, to the general public.
To the public,
and I don't
yeah.
want that to happen.
Right. Okay, good. So are you, from here on in, are you going to continue to work with Washington and with the mayor and go to Washington and try and get more measures passed and keep this fight up?
Oh, you're doggone right we are. We're not going to give up. But it's going to really take the American people to do what they need to do. If they are dissatisfied, and I, you know, obviously there are some people who think Congress did absolutely the right thing, and they have a right to feel that way.
Right.
But there's a significant number of people who don't think that they adequately represent their interests. They need to show that disgust at the polls, because until guys start losing elections, it's not going to make any difference.
Right.
Try walking into the U.S. Capitol or any of their office buildings with a firearm. They love guns so much. You know how many layers of security you got to go through to get to the Capitol? They will not allow a uniformed cop with a firearm in the building. You have to turn your building in as a uniformed police officer. You know, yet they'll pass laws that affect the rest of us that don't have that kind of layer of protection. And that's okay while they're in their little safe cocoon.
Yeah,
it's just not right.
I had read that you had said there's a little disconnect there. They're kind of not involved in what's going on in our lives when they're a little cocoon, when they sit there where no guns are allowed and they feel safe, and that's fine for them. Yeah. But
so
anyway.
They're connected, but they're connected people with money.
Exactly. Well, we thank you for coming on. Thanks for your thoughts, and thanks for all the work you're doing. And we're going to keep up. We're going to inspire people to keep this fight up, and thank you for keeping the fight up.
Well, thanks for all you do. We really appreciate it.
All right. You take care now. Have a good day.
All right. You too.
Take care. All right. Thank you. Commissioner Ramsey there telling you what he's going to do. I'll tell you, it makes no sense to me whatsoever how 90% of the country, even Obama even explained it in a speech, but 90% of the country wants this. The vote was in favor of it,
right,
and yet you still can't get it passed. I mean, our whole system is whacked out of, you know, it's just crazy. This political system needs to be revamped in some way.
Yes.
But it is a testament to this fact, folks. If 90% of us want this bill passed, and a very small minority can get it thrown out, then all of you 90% aren't doing your job. You're doing nothing. You're sitting around and you're saying, we believe this, 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 but we're not really care. We don't care who we vote for, and we're not really interested in knowing what they stand for. Because these people didn't get in by osmosis. They got in by being voted for, and they make their positions pretty clear because all their money comes from, you know, the ones that are staunch NRA supporters were supported by the NRA, and it's easy to find that out when you're voting for somebody. So let's be a little more astute, and let's call these people on what they believe in and get them out of there.
So David, what exactly can the public do right now?
Right now.
To make this happen.
Okay.
Oh, wait, before you answer that, let's go to break.
All right.
If you have a comment or you have a question for David, the smart guy in Court Radio, 215-263-1003. Again, that is 215-263-1003. We'll be right back after these messages on Old School 100.3.
If you've been injured in an automobile accident, you know what matters. Being able to afford medical care, providing for your family while you're out of work, knowing your rights and getting just compensation. These things matter. That's why your attorney matters. I'm Dean Weitzman from My Philly Lawyer. If you've been injured in an auto or truck-related accident, My Philly Lawyer will fight for you. Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most.
If you've been injured, the road to recovery can seem long. At United Therapy Centers, we're here to help. Call us 877-510-7764. With leading-edge technology and our team approach, we provide the highest level of patient care with a pain management program developed just for you. If you've been injured, we can help. Call United Therapy Centers toll-free 877-510-7764. United Therapy Centers, get on the road to recovery.
Are you in a financial legal squeeze? Unable to work because of an accident? With your legal case still not settled? Lawsuit Funding Solutions can help you pay the bills while you wait. If you have a pending lawsuit, call 877-697-7352. It can take time for a lawsuit to settle. Lawsuit Funding Solutions is here to help you get back on track. And you won't owe them a thing if your case doesn't settle or you don't receive a judgment. Get out of the squeeze today. Call 877-697-7352.
If you've been injured on the job and are entitled to workers' comp, you need someone fighting for you from the start. Call Jeffrey Gross, attorney at law. Don't rely on your employer or insurance company to get it right. Call 215-512-1500. If you're entitled to workers' comp or it's being challenged, Jeffrey Gross can help get the money you deserve, and he won't get paid unless you get paid. Call 215-512-1500. Jeffrey Gross, attorney at law, representing Pennsylvania's injured workers for more than 20 years.
Need more legal answers? Here's more Court Radio with your host, Dean Weitzman, on Old School 100.3.
Pardon me, but that's David Rappaport, not Dean Weitzman. Sorry. No. Anyway, your question, what can people do? Here's what people can do.
Hold on. Let's let everybody know who you are.
No.
Why you are here?
Absolutely not.
No.
This is David. You should know who I am already. The voice explains everything. It's David Rappaport. I am here hosting for Court Radio in place of Dean Weitzman. I'm usually the co-host. If you have any questions, legal questions, any type of question, comments on what we've been talking about, 215-263-1003. Top of the morning to you.
That's right. This is and Court Kyle Radio is on Old School 100.3. I'm here. I'm filling in for David because David's filling in for
Kyle
Dean.
Kyle is me. I'm today. Dean. Figure that one out.
And Larry is me.
Larry is you. Right.
Yes.
There you go. That's, my head's spinning already. Anyway, you asked a question, what can people do? I'm going to answer it very quickly because we have callers and we're going to take them right after I answer this. And the answer is mobilize. There are thousands of organizations that are anti-gun and they want to support this gun control bill, you can join with them. You can look them up. You can give them donations. You can get with local people who are doing it. You can call your senators and lawmakers. You can call other states' senators and lawmakers. Just do something. Don't just sit there and comment on it. That way you get involved and you're for this. That's the answer. I've stated it. If you disagree with me or agree, give me a call. 215-263-1003. And we have a call. Line 2, Dana. Dana?
Hello. I'm calling in reference of, I work for this, I'm not going to call a name.
Okay.
But they did a background check and a child abuse check. And I had a case like 30 years ago.
Right.
And everything was, you know, I went into the ARD program and this and that.
Okay.
And the judge was supposed to
expunge it. Right.
And so now I'm in a dilemma. I went down to the criminal justice system, and I went down to 1801 Vine.
Okay.
And they can't find the records.
Hmm. So who is it that you applied for a job and they found this on your record?
No, it's not on my records.
Oh. Well, you don't want it on your record, do you?
No, I don't.
So what's the issue? What's your question? I don't understand, really.
The question is that I had went down and checked. You know, I just went down to check and see whether it was there.
Right.
And it's not.
That's good. You don't want it there, do you?
No.
Okay. So what...
Is there any way that they can find it, or...
Well, I guess I'm going to ask you a question. Why do you want to find it and bring it back up? If it's expunged, it means it's pretty much wiped from your record, so no one will be able to find out that you had this in your past, and it won't affect you. I can't see any reason why you would want to bring it up.
No, I'm just trying to clear the air to make myself feel better.
The air is cleared. You can't find it.
So if I go check it, if I went and check it and it's not there, it's not there.
There you go.
Thank you.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for calling in. Have a great Sunday, Dana. And yeah, it's not there. It's not there. So you're fine.
Thank you.
Okay. Now... There you go. Dana is gone. Well, that was an interesting question. What do I do if I can't find it? I want to bring it up to know that I can't find it. Okay. I'm with you, Dana. I'm with you. That's all right. It's Sunday morning. We're all a little, still waking up. Anyway, you heard Ramsey. I pulled, before we get off this debate, we have a couple other callers. I'm going to take them, and then I'm going to play two more clips from Obama because I think they're very important, and I think it was his best speech, really. Anyway, we have Maurice on the line. Maurice.
Yes, good morning. How are you today?
I'm well. How are you?
Okay.
Thanks for calling in.
I have a quick question.
Yes, go ahead.
I have an old car.
Right.
And because the transmission was broken, I couldn't get it inspected in time. Now, the car has been sitting for about a year.
All right.
I have a neighbor who has a new boyfriend who wants to park his company trucks and his truck in our block. Our block is a very small block in North Philadelphia. And so to keep my car out of the way, I parked it in front of an abandoned lot on our block further down the street. Well, they called, reported my car had been sitting too long, and the police came and told me that the car wasn't recently inspected and I had to get it inspected. I told them I couldn't do that quite right away because of the transmission, because it is a $3,000 job.
Right.
But I let them know that I had my insurance and registration up to date.
So it was registered.
I came home the following Friday,
right.
And the car was taken.
Hmm.
So I probably won't get the car back, but my tags were valid and everything. Are those sent back to me? What steps do I do? Do I report the car stolen since the police took it?
Or no.
How do I
don't do that. Well, here's what you have to do. First of all, are you, at this point, now that they took your car, are you kind of giving up on putting the transmission in and getting it back running, or
I'm thinking, when I first got the first notice from the police officer saying that the car would be taken and destroyed, I'm thinking, since they took it on the 12th and no one has said anything since then, I don't know if it's destroyed. I would like to get the car back or at least get my tags back so I'm not responsible for anything. It might happen illegally. But...
Well, okay. The first thing you need to do then first is call the parking authority or the police. They should have given you a number or something for where they towed it.
No, they didn't.
Well, call the police. You need to call the general police number to the roundhouse. Find out through your tag where your car is, and if in fact it is destroyed. If it is, you know, that sounds a little severe to me, and I don't understand it, especially if you have it registered and you've paid for insurance.
Right, because the first time I was ever called to me about, they told me they don't come out to bother anyone about their car unless a neighbor calls.
Right.
And they said the car has to have no insurance, no registration,
right.
No inspection, has to be either leaking fluids or damaged.
Right, I don't understand.
My car had none of those things wrong except for expired in registration.
I mean,
expired
inspection.
Inspection.
Yeah, there's something going on here that you need to find out, because if they ran your tag and it showed an inspected vehicle, then there shouldn't be a problem there and they shouldn't have towed it. I'm not totally familiar with all the intricacies of the livestock and all those other types of things, but I would be hard-pressed to say that your car was destroyed. I doubt that. So you need to find out by calling the police. I would just call the general number, and they'll direct you on where to call.
Okay.
Usually your car is stored somewhere, probably on Columbus Boulevard or even Spring Garden. I think they have a holding area. But it's going to cost you money probably to get it out. However, if you get your car fixed fairly soon, if you get it back and you get it fixed and inspected, you could always fight the ticket and show them that you got it inspected, because you have a reasonable amount of time after you get your car back to do that. But that would be the first thing to do, okay? If you can't find it and they destroyed it, I would welcome you to call back, because that's a very unique situation, and we would like to explore that some more.
All right, thank you very much.
All right, Maurice? You have a great day.
You too now.
Okay.
I enjoy listening to you.
Great, thank you. We love our listeners.
Thank you very much, sir.
Yep, take care. Go ahead.
215-263-1003. David Rappaport is here, taking all your calls from Dean Weissman on Court Radio on Old School 100.3. We got another call, David. Let's go to Lou.
Lou, line four, gun laws. Lou.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
First of all, I'd like to say I don't own a gun. I'm 67, never have owned a gun.
Okay.
The other issue I have is, we have a Second Amendment that says gun laws, the right to own guns is not to be infringed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that amendment was put in over 200 years ago, not for the sole purpose for the population to protect themselves from the population or to go hunting. That was put in there for another purpose, and that was to protect the population from a government that overextends itself.
Correct.
Okay, so at least we agree on that premise.
I do agree with that.
Okay. The fact that you mentioned a small majority of senators were able to block the gun legislation, you have to understand we have a representative government, which you mentioned.
Yes.
And a lot of times when an event happens, I mean, I was in New York City at the time of 9/11,
mm-hmm.
right in all the grief and anger and emotion.
Gotcha.
Okay, and right now, the population is dealing with emotion, so we need some people to step ahead and use common sense. Common sense dictates that if we take all the guns away, the people with the guns, because the people with the guns illegally, and
right, it's, this is the guns don't kill. Right.
A lot of different ways.
All the illegals will have guns. All the criminals will have them, but we won't have them, right?
Well, let's just put it like this.
Can I ask you a question, Lou?
The person that went into the Aurora movie theater
right.
knew that nobody was going to have guns because there was a sign that said no guns allowed. In a 9-mile radius of his house, that was the only movie theater that had a sign no guns allowed.
Can I ask you a question, Lou?
Sure.
And again, bear with me when I ask you this question. I don't want you to jump to any conclusions when I ask it. But first, are you a Republican? And you don't have to answer if you don't want to. Yes. Okay.
Well, wait a second. I was a Republican. I'm more leaning towards a libertarian.
Okay, fine.
And a conservative.
Because after this vote came down the other day and the media took hold of it, All I have seen, and I see this all the time, and God bless the Republican Party, because if they're good at anything, they're good at getting their message out and their talking point out. And the big talking point on this issue for the Republican Party is emotion. Let's not legislate by emotion and blah, 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 blah. But my one question to you, I understand your points. I have one question for you. Yeah. What is it about that legislation that we're talking about that you would think is objectionable? In other words, background checks, just extending it. It's already in place. And in fact, the NRA is in agreement with the background checks that are in place already. What is wrong with extending them to online purchasing and gun shows? Explain that to me. Just that one issue. What's wrong with that?
Okay. This stems not only from this, but everything that the current administration has been doing. When Obamacare was pushed through the way it was, everybody felt that it was underhanded. When the other legislations, Republicans felt that was underhanded. Now we have that the government wants to extend the background checks.
Right.
I basically agree with that.
Okay.
I believe that there should be some type of threshold, let's call it. But I am afraid of the abuse of that threshold.
Okay, well first of all, this wasn't thrown, pushed through.
And the abuse of the threshold comes into play when a child has a picture taken of a weapon that his father gave him, who had the child trained, who himself was an instructor, and then
Lou,
the police officers come down and right away want to inspect his guns and take his guns.
Okay, Lou, with all due respect, that's not the case here. This was just a bill to extend background checks, and 90%. Now, if you're going to tout to me the Constitution, all that kind of stuff, 90% of our country wanted it. Our country is built on consensus and majority, and the majority wants it. So, I mean, you could talk about, I understand your point, and I somewhat agree with, you know, the government just running in and scraping up all of our rights. But the rights you're just talking about now, the baby and or the kid and the guy giving his gun to his kid and he learns how to use it, this legislation didn't have anything to do with that. This was a common sense. Yeah, you can ask me anything.
Okay.
And then we have to move on.
What part of any gun ban registration or gun limitation registration would have stopped any one of the mass killings? What would have stopped the bombing? What would have stopped the five planes that were taken with box cuts?
Yeah, it wouldn't have.
If somebody is bent on doing something, they're going to find a way.
Yeah, you're absolutely. Well, that doesn't mean that we should allow everyone to have guns. Look, as Obama said, and I'm going to play a clip. It's a good segue because I'm going to play a clip in a minute. As Obama said, and I wholeheartedly believe this. If this bill served to save one life, it kept one gun out of a criminal's hand, or 1,000 lives, or 100 lives, and the inverse, it would have done. It really does nothing to hamper the law-abiding citizen from getting a gun, then why not do it? Okay, it makes no sense. These are Republican talking points of emotion and all that nonsense. The government is not coming to take away anyone's guns.
Yes, they are.
Oh, please. Okay, well, if you think this legislation is the government taking away your guns, then I can't argue to that because
it's
nonsensical.
Been trending on the right of the,
all right, that's
of
fine.
The American public to own guns for 200 years.
That's right.
We've had these laws.
All right.
For 200 years, people didn't have background checks and were allowed to have the weapons.
And now we're more sophisticated, and we can try and pass these laws to help combat crime. So there you go, Lou. Thanks for calling in. But we need to move on. Again, I'm not interested in talking about the Republican talking points. All right. I want to take another call. This gentleman's been waiting a long time. Steve Huntington. Steve.
Hello.
Steve, how are you?
Good.
Yeah, Steve's our guest.
Oh, I'm sorry, Steve. I apologize. You're our guest. Okay. I'm sorry. They handed this to me, and they made it look like it was just a caller.
Larry.
But you're not just a caller. You are our guest. How are you?
I am fine.
And why don't you tell our listeners why you're calling in today? Who are you?
Well, I've been asked to speak about the real estate tax reassessments in the city of Philadelphia, the project known as AVI, which are the initials for the Actual Value Initiative. And I...
What is that? Let's tell our listeners what... And this is in Philadelphia, obviously, right?
This is only in the city of Philadelphia.
Okay.
The city, as a result of some Inquirer articles several years ago, decided to reform its real estate tax system. And the upshot was an office called the Office of Property Assessment was created, and they went around and issued reassessments for all 579,000 properties in the city, which were mailed to taxpayers in mid-February.
Okay.
The result is that while the program is supposed to be revenue neutral, that is, the real estate tax system as a whole is supposed to generate the same amount of money as it had previously generated. Some people have seen increases and other people have seen decreases. And, of course, the people receiving increases are concerned and wondering what's happening.
These are big increases. These are big increases, right? I mean, there aren't.
Well, some. When you say these are big increases, there are figures suggesting that only around between 7 and 8% of the increases are more than $1,000.
Okay.
The reason I've become interested is a group of civic associations, 21 civic associations, have banded together and formed something called the Crosstown Coalition, which originally started in 2008 in response to the city's efforts to reform the zoning code.
And what is their purpose for this?
Well, the coalition now is focusing on this real estate tax reform, and I guess our initial concern, our sort of threshold question, is whether the job has been done correctly, because there are a number of reports, many reports that we've received, suggesting that properties that are otherwise similar or identical are receiving radically different tax assessments, and
so the there's a question as to whether this is just arbitrarily being forced upon certain properties and not upon others, instead of being fairly implemented.
I would raise the question a little bit differently, similarly but differently. I guess we are investigating right now whether the job was properly done. There are statistical tests that the professionals in the area use to describe the margin of error representing the difference between assessed values and the real-world market values evidenced by arm's-length sales transactions. And the goal, of course, in this program was to convert what had been sort of a hodgepodge of assessments into a uniform assessment system so that each assessment would be in line with the real-world market values of what the individual properties were worth.
So if I'm a property owner in Philadelphia and I've been assessed and I'm upset about it, what do I do?
Well,
who do I call for to get involved with you?
Initially, when you got your bill, you had two options. One was to file what in the paperwork is called a first-level review, and that would have been an administrative review where you would sit down with a representative from the Office of Property Assessment. Probably you wouldn't sit down with them. You'd handle it over the phone and attempt to persuade them that your assessment was incorrect. The deadline for those first-level administrative reviews already passed. The last day to file for that review was April 1st.
Okay, so what can people do? I assume they can join this coalition or become part of it. And
well, the coalition is really a band of civic associations, which in turn have individual members. So the 22 members have associations have like our I'm involved because I'm active with Center City Residents Association, which in turn has about 1,000 members in and of itself.
Okay.
So we're not asking for individuals to join our group. What we are suggesting that if they live in an area of the city where they feel has been impacted, it would be great if they could alert their local civic associations to reach out to us and start attending our meetings and funding our research.
Okay, we're running out of time. I want you to give me your best 1 minute closing on what you're trying to do or what you want to tell people about this so that you can get your message across, because we got to move.
Or how can they contact you?
Yeah, how can they contact you? That kind of stuff.
Yeah, sure.
Go ahead.
So in answer to your lingering question, which is what can folks do? There is a second appeal deadline on October 7th.
Okay.
If folks need to contact us, they can email S. Huntington, HUNTING, T as in Tom, ON, at HHF for Harry Frank Law, LAW.com.
Okay. Very good. Thank you, sir. We appreciate your time. Sorry, we're going to have to move on because we're running out of time, but we appreciate what you're doing and your efforts, and I'm sure the people who are going to be serviced by this are going to appreciate it.
Thanks
for calling in this morning.
Sure.
Okay, you take care.
Bye-bye.
All right, folks, we're back at Court Radio.
On Old School 100.3.
The show is Court Radio. See, I'm not up on this stuff. No, this is the first time I'm doing it.
Yeah,
okay.
Court Radio on Old people? School 100.3. You're doing very well.
Old School. Anyway, let's go back. I want to take a call from Rob on the gun laws. Rob.
Hey, how you doing?
How are you, Rob? Thanks for calling in.
No problem.
So what's your comment?
My comment is about the back. Now, to what extent are they trying to, widen the background check?
Right. Is that your question? Is that? That's what
that's one question.
Well, like I said, very quickly, the background checks exist now where if you go into a gun shop, you have to fill out a form and they do a background check on you to make sure you're not a convicted felon, if you're on a database for mental illness, things like that.
Now,
that background check does not extend to online purchasing of guns or gun shows, where you could just go into a gun show and all they can check, I think, is whether you're a convicted felon or not, and that's it. And then you can buy whatever you want, as many as you want, and walk out of there with a big handful of weapons. So they just wanted to extend the background check to that.
Yeah, because I was a little confused because in Pennsylvania, we basically go through that already.
You're right. In a gun shop, absolutely.
Yeah, we already been going through that. And another thing is,
explain. This would be a federal law that would expand for every state, obviously.
Yeah, it may be different in other states.
Sure, go ahead. What was your second?
Another thing I was just wanting to make a comment about is that one thing they should do is drug tests. They don't do that.
You're right.
I like that idea.
I do. I like that idea as well.
Because if I'm a criminal or a drug dealer, and I know somebody who's strung out on drugs, but they don't have a record and they can pass a background check, then I'm going to say, hey, I'll give you X amount of drugs or X amount of dollars to purchase this for me.
Yeah. That's what Commissioner Ramsey was saying about a straw man. That's what that is. They get someone else to buy a gun for you and, that kind of thing. But, you're right. Drug testing would be something that would not pass probably in the near future because of all this opposition, but a good thing to strive for, that's for sure.
Rob, maybe you need to run for office. That was a good idea.
Why don't you run? Yeah.
No, it's too much. involved.
Well, get involved then some way, but don't just sit back. You have a good good thought on that. Try and push that with other people and tell everybody.
All right, be a voice in the community, not just a member.
There you go. I like that.
Voice. I'm being a voice right now, nationally on radio, 100.3.
Nice. Old school, baby. All right.
All right, thank you, Rob, for calling in.
No problem. Have a great day.
You okay. Too.
All right, David, let's go to, we have Anonymous calling
in. Anonymous. I like Anonymous. We always love Anonymous. That's the best call. What's up, Anonymous?
Hey, how you doing?
How are you?
I got a question. I was hired for a job, and we were supposed to go through, like, 2 weeks training process.
Okay.
You know, it was supposed to do, like, a class training for a week, and the next week it was supposed to do, like, you know, go on the road and, you know, do a physical.
Right.
You know, okay, I need you to speed up your question because we're running out of time.
Yeah, we need to. We have
30
okay.
seconds.
Yeah, the question was, I was let go. Actually, I was forced to resign the job because we were supposed to go to numerous tests. And one of the tests, which was on Friday, you know, I failed on the test and they let me go on, you know, like immediately.
Okay.
That, I had to either resign or, you know, they were going to fire me, you know. And so actually they forced me to resign because they
give
told
us the
me,
question.
You know, if I was, you know, fired, it would look bad on my record. The question was, is there anything
can
I can
that?
Do?
Right.
Because
okay.
the training wasn't, you know, finished. You know, this was like after 4 days on the job.
All right. I'm going to give you the quick answer. We're going to let you go and you can listen to the answer. Okay. Thanks for calling in. The quick answer is this. We've said this many times, and we love to repeat it. Pennsylvania and a lot of states are at-will employment, which means an employer, even if you're hired, can fire you for any reason they want, except if it's one of the discriminatory reasons, age, sex, blah, blah, blah. If this training program had some type of handbook that dictated how it should be done and they've strayed from that, you might have the ability to argue that they didn't follow the rules, so to speak. But if they'd had no type of rule book and they just said, here's what you need to do, and you didn't do it the way we wanted to, we're not going to hire you, or you need to resign, there's really nothing you can do. And that's pretty much the answer. Unless you can prove that they discriminated against you for some reason, there's nothing you can do. Okay? Anyway, thank you. It's been great. I wanted to play those Obama clips I didn't get to. I hope E plays the two clips. I'm going to make him play.
Yeah, let's make him play it.
When he starts the show. But it's been fun. Kyle, thanks for helping me.
Most definitely. Great job today, David.
It's a little more difficult than I thought being at the helm that Dean is usually at.
No worry, we'll have more practice. I'll make sure Dean is on more often.
Good, I like that. Yeah. I like that. Thank you, people. Have a great day. E. Steven Collins is coming up.
On Old School 100.3.
Thank you.
If your child suffered a birth injury, you know what matters. Getting proper medical care, counseling and assistance, knowing your rights, and getting just compensation to provide for your child's future matters. That's why your attorney matters. My Philly Lawyer is ready to fight relentlessly for you and your child. Call 215-227-2727. Choosing the right legal representation is critical to getting compensation you deserve. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most.
My Philly Lawyer is the proud sponsor of Philly Speaks on Old School 100.3.
If you've been injured, the road to recovery can seem long. At United Therapy Centers, we're here to help. Call us 877-510-7764. With leading-edge technology and our team approach, we provide the highest level of patient care with a pain management program developed just for you. If you've been injured, we can help. Call United Therapy Centers toll-free 877-510-7764. United Therapy Centers, get on the road to recovery.
Are you in a financial legal squeeze? Unable to work because of an accident with your legal case still not settled? Lawsuit Funding Solutions can help you pay the bills while you wait. If you have a pending lawsuit, call 877-697-7352. It can take time for a lawsuit to settle. Lawsuit Funding Solutions is here to help you get back on track. And you won't owe them a thing if your case doesn't settle or you don't receive a judgment. Get out of the squeeze today. Call 877-697-7352.
If you've been injured on the job and are entitled to workers' comp, you need someone fighting for you from the start. Call Jeffrey Gross, attorney at law. Don't rely on your employer or insurance company to get it right. Call 215-512-1500. If you're entitled to workers' comp or it's being challenged, Jeffrey Gross can help get the money you deserve, and he won't get paid unless you get paid. Call 215-512-1500. Jeffrey Gross, attorney at law, representing Pennsylvania's injured workers for more than 20 years.